Hello, world. It's Sandra London, and you're listening to Playtime with Sandra. I'm going to start off tonight's broadcast with the song that was playing towards the end of last week's episode, Houdini Act by Mongrel, and then I'll be right back with news updates and later some really cool information. And I don't know what's going on. There we go. And so, yeah, here we go. Starting. Now I have to find it. My bad, you guys. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Houdini Act by Mongrel. So, it is April 1st, April Fool's Day, and what better way to celebrate than to talk to to a lawyer. I don't know. I'm just thinking about that whole joke. I might completely misquote it or something. Like, if you represent yourself, you have a fool for a lawyer and a fool for a client. Yeah. There's some kind of joke I was trying to make there, but oh well. Anyways, we'll be having that interview a bit later in the broadcast. But for now, I actually need to go through my files because some of the ones I plan to play this evening are, like, not present in my studio at the moment. But I do have a couple different things I can read off to you as far as some recent news and stuff like that. One of the little news briefs that I saw that was kind of interesting is that Egypt has just banned internet porn and they block internet pornography websites. So, huh. Okay, I didn't even know they ever allowed it, but I guess that's interesting. And the Justice Department has just posted a 30-day 2257 public comment notice for all videographers of adult material that they need to have their records in place and be fully compliant of the 2257 laws regarding adults and the depiction of sexual situations and the like. I will give you some more updates again in just a little while, but right now, let me go ahead and play a song for you. Ooh, which one? Ooh. Okay, I'm going to play Cut the Chain, and that's by the Mike McCulloch Band. And here you go. That was Cut the Chain by the Mike McCulloch Band. You can listen to more of their sounds at nakedgirlsradio.com anytime. And, yeah, I hope you liked that. Let's see what else. I actually did find those files. I guess my studio didn't actually have it in alphabetical order. It was just at the end. Yay. So, woohoo, we can continue forward. Awesome. Yes, let's see. Yesterday, I had a big old party, which was great. I got to see my family and friends, and my dog got, like, his latest new playmate, who is awesome. It's a little three-year-old dog named EJ, who's awesome. And so, yeah, my dog is a bit freaked out, but he actually grew to at least not go buck wild towards the end of EJ's first visit to play with his new friend. So all happy about that. And I have, I guess, some more things coming up pretty soon. I believe my YouTube suspension will be over in the next 2 or 3 days. And I will have so much more material for everyone to check out. Anyone who's not familiar with my YouTube channel can check it out on SandraLondonTV.com or YouTube.com/SandraLondonTV. I also will have a webcam clip of Lulu Love on my YouTube channel and on my website, toliveandgrindinla.com, very soon, and it'll be a more X-rated version of the interview that I had with her last week, if you guys check that out on my site. So now we can move into, okay, last week I played a different song. Let's see, where is he? Oh, Lordy. You have to excuse me. I'm getting my brain back little by little. Like, all my energy has gone towards this little 4-pound bundle of claws and teeth and gooiness. Yeah, last week I played Booty on You by Mr. Freezio. That was a really cool, fun, party-style song. And I'm going to play another one of his songs that I like quite a bit, and that's called Got a Hater by Mr. Freezio. And here you go. Check it out.
$5 for that bullshit? No thanks.
Yeah, where them haters at? I'm laughing at you. Climbing to the
Mr. Friezo. So let's see. I mentioned either one or two episodes ago about the 2012 Chicago SexCon, and I'll just give you a little bit more information about that. It's the fifth annual Chicago SexCon, and it's billed as the only adult entertainment trade show and exposition, and it only happens one night a year. And they're having it at the Excalibur nightclub. I don't know about only adult show, but I think it is the only one that happens one night a year, but it'll be one big fantastic evening. So any of you Chicago locals or people heading out that way, you guys should have a pretty good time in April checking that show out. I don't believe I'll be able to make it. I will try, but I don't think so. But if you do go, you'll be able to check out Jess from Naked Girls Radio and a bunch of different entertainers, companies, and all these wonderful things for your viewing and auditory and all that kind of pleasure. So check that out. They're actually selling tickets for $30 on nakedgirlsradio.com. So if you want to do that, feel free to check them out. And for now, I will put on one of my erotic readings that came from my Sandra London TV channel, and it is called Four White Nights. Here you go.
Hello, party people. Right now, I'm going to read for you a poem by one of my favorite French écrivains, Mr. Charles Baudelaire. And I will start right now. I don't know if I should do it in English or in French. I don't know. You know what? I'm just going to start with where that poem came from on my former postings of my blog when it first started off with WordPress. Anyways, okay, so a night for white nights. I always do depend on the kindness of strangers. Today calls for a tribute to the white knights in shining armor who have been so generous throughout my lifetime and career as a web chick. You mean so very much, and you do so very much, to make me smile, to make me laugh, to make me thank the stars above that they're living, breathing angels right here on Earth. Here's to a long, luxurious alliance of kindred spirits, lonely hearts, abundant moments of joy, and unbridled excellence. It's all because of you that any of this is possible. You keep me going through good times and bad, through the dawn's early light, and the periods of abyss, which befall despite my most earnest intentions. In honor of you, and in honor of the tribute, here's one of my most favorite poems by Monsieur Charles Baudelaire. Okay. À une passante. La rue assourdissante autour de moi hurlait. Longue, mince, un grain d'œil, douleur majestueuse. Une femme passa d'une main fastueuse, soulevant, balançant, le feston et l'ourlet. Agile et noble avec sa jambe de statue, moi je buvais, crispé comme un extravagant. Dans son œil, ciel livide où j'aime l'ouragan, la douceur qui fascine et le plaisir qui tue. Un éclair, puis la nuit, fugitive beauté, dont le regard m'a fait soudainement renaître. Ne te verrai-je plus que dans l'éternité? Ailleurs, bien loin d'ici, trop tard, jamais peut-être, car j'ignore où tu fuis, tu ne sais où je vais. Ô toi qui juste aimé, ô toi qui le savais. And this was my English translation. The busy boulevard screeched all around me. Long, thin, and great mourning, majestic sorrow. A woman passed, of such controlled, elegant poise and grace, lifting, swinging, her hems and her seams. Agile and noble, with her statuesque legs. Me, I was drunk in her presence, tense like an extravagant. And her eyes, a blue sky from which hurricanes are stirred. A fascinating tenderness and a pleasure which kills. A flash. The night falls. Fugitive beauty, whose eyes had so suddenly awakened me within. Will I never see you again for all of eternity? Elsewhere, quite far away from this moment. Too late, never, perhaps. For I have no idea where you have fled. You know not of where I'm going. Oh, you, who I would have loved. Oh, you, who knew this all along. Voila. That concludes the reading of A Une Façon by Mr. Charles Baudelaire. Good night.
That was Four White Nights, the audio-only version for your listening pleasure. And I kind of have an idea. I don't know when it may come to pass. I'm not quite sure. But I'm thinking of doing, like, an additional broadcast in the future, like maybe a weekly thing of 15 or 30 minutes of, like, reading some of my favorite French authors in their original language for everybody to check out, along with some very nice lessons on naughty words in French. So I'm going to be thinking about it some more, and it will probably happen within the next month or so. I'll go ahead and play maybe one more song, and then I'll be bringing that interview to you, and I hope you'll tune in. So check out Evolution by Pipe Dream. Before warned, the song has a lot of energy. It's really fun, but it's very, very just electric or something. It's Evolution by Pipe Dream. Ooh, and guess what? They're French. Woohoo! Here you go.
We'll be right back.
That was Evolution by Pipe Dream. And I just wanted to let everybody know, what was it, last week, I was on Playboy Radio morning show as a guest call-in contestant for their March Madness competition. I don't know if you guys all tuned in or not, but you can probably catch it on an archive if you go to Sirius or XM 99, definitely online. You can look it up. But I was giving my best bad girl story for my competition. So if you want to hear exactly how naughty that got, I invite you to go check that out. And I also mentioned a week or two ago how I entered the Miss Free Ones competition. Voting for that officially begins next week, I believe, April 7th. So, yeah, check it out. Go to freeones.com or missfreeones.com and submit your vote for me or your favorite lovely leading lusty lady. So, we're going to get down to this interview, and let me give a brief introduction. I'm going to be interviewing Anthony F. List Jr., who is a lawyer in Pennsylvania, and his website is palicenselawyer.com, and we'll have a good old time just going over, I don't know, just sort of national news. There's a lot of hot topics with all kinds of cases in the news lately with Trayvon Martin, people going crazy on planes, all kinds of stuff like that. And I guess some really perhaps interesting, funny anecdotes that Anthony can share with you all about his life as a lawyer, his interests, and I guess just getting to know about what's going on. So let me see. You know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to call him up because it's quite late over there on the East Coast, so I wasn't going to force him to have to make sure to call me. So let me go ahead and enter the number in right about now. Oh my goodness. Let's see. All my papers now. There we go. There we go. I think this is my first time actually dialing a guest on the show.
Hello?
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 Yo, it's Sandra London with Playtime with Sandra, Rise and Shine.
No, I'm up. How you doing, Miss Thing?
Good, good. How are you? Did you have a good dinner? Earlier
this
evening? Yes, yes.
The bachelor spaghetti. You know how it goes.
Nice, nice. Well, oh my God, I was trying to remember. Okay, so I was like letting him know some of the topics that I wanted to go over for tonight's broadcast. I'll probably forget most of them. My brain's been like definitely mushed since this dog is like, I think he's secretly eating.
Are we on right now?
Yes, we're on right now.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
Am I babbling?
No, I'm kidding.
Am I babbling?
No, I'm kidding. Oh, jeez.
Anyway, okay, so anyway, enough about me and the Theodore boy here. Tell me and tell my listeners about you, about your life, I don't know, college, golf, baseball, whatever you
got before. Well, I went to college here back east, a small school in Maryland. I played baseball for 1 year, didn't see much of a future in that, so then I went to law school, and that's what I've been doing now I've been an attorney now for about 11 years.
That's
been more than that. What am I talking about? Oh, my God, it's been like 12 years. Wait. 13.
Wait.
Holy shit. Time flies.
I guess it does. But what can you explain, like, the jump between baseball to law? Like, I don't, can you?
Well, when you run, like, you got a piano on your back and you see guys who are just running circles around you, and you kind of see that, you know, not to mention all the other guys are on steroids and you're not. It's kind of like, eh, there's not much of a future here when you're 5'10", barely 180 pounds, and can't run. Like, you can hang with them a little bit, but, you know, it's time to think about doing something else when you're, like, 23 years old, so that's why it's always
law. Law is less demanding than being in the legal field? That's less demanding?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I only did the baseball thing for really 1 year, but I don't know if I'd say less demanding. I mean, it's not as much fun as it was playing baseball, but it's more consistent and obviously more reliable.
Well, I mean, surely have fun, right?
Do I have fun practicing law? Yeah, sometimes I do.
Sometimes,
yeah.
But when they're hot, you have hot clients. Or, like, a really promising case. Like, I don't know. Like, I know that you do, what, traffic law and stuff like that, but...
I do basically criminal defense law. And one of the areas that I've specialized in over the past few years has been more or less motor vehicle traffic. Some DUI, because that is a branch of criminal law, believe it or not, even though it's just traffic tickets. But I do also do, like, regular criminal cases. Like, I've had, you know, trials with drug cases and... you know, attempted homicides. I think you knew about that one. I had that back in November. So, yeah, it's like I do a lot of that stuff, and occasionally personal injury, like a good friend of mine, her mother slipped and fell, and, you know, on this totally very dangerous condition of the street in Philadelphia, so there's definitely going to be, like, a lawsuit there. So I'm kind of like a general practitioner, but I just do not touch, like, family law. That was one of the things I did when I first came out was, you know, custody and divorce, and it's just totally nauseating.
Really?
Like, yeah, that's the most stressful kind.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Huh. It's the most stressful kind, and the parties act so immature you want to wring both their necks, including your own clients, because they're just like big babies about it, you know. And you see the kids get put in the middle of it. It just turns your stomach the whole time. You know, they just want more visitation time. But that's not really what it's about. It's not about them visiting their kid. It's about them getting back at their ex and using their kid to do that. And that's where I'm just like, you know.
I see. So does that mean, like, criminals are a lot more warm and fuzzy?
You know what? That's a good point. Yes. Yeah. Like, I've wanted to go upside the head of far more of the few family clients I had than the criminals, without a doubt.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, okay. I guess.
Sorry, did that sound professional? I'm just being honest.
It is what it is. I don't know. Like, maybe you found your niche. You like what you do. And who can fault that, right? That's good.
Yeah.
I know that, like, with, like, some of my family, like, god sisters and stuff like that, that they went into, like, family work in a sense as far as, like, social work and, like, rescuing kids from homes. And, yeah, it was pretty soul-sucking.
That's gut-wrenching. I don't know. How do they do it?
Not for very long.
Exactly. That's why all the...
I'm not quite sure. I don't believe they're in those careers any longer. I think most people start out, like, very, you know, inspired and passionate about what they do, and then they just buck up against the system and realize their idealism doesn't take them past the law. So...
Yeah.
I can see how that could apply in your case as well, or it might be a lot more clear-cut with different types of cases or things like that.
Yeah, well, the family stuff, and it's kind of like this along the same lines, you're dealing with families that are screwed up, and not that everyone's family is perfect, nobody's is, but, you know, like whether it's your people in your family that are doing the social work, you know, God love them for doing that, but it's really more lawyers burn out doing that kind of law actually than any other, the family law, because it really is just very stressful and a lot of drama and a lot of it's just unnecessary.
It's like a 21st-century
soap opera. Yeah, a cross between that, honestly, it's a cross between that and a bunch of immature kids on the playground fighting over who gets to, you know, be on the swing set next. I mean, it's just like, they act like that silly.
Wow.
Over stupid stuff, you know.
Well, okay, so I guess going back to what you actually do involve yourself with.
Right.
No, okay. So with, like, these criminal defendants and things like that, do you find
mm-hmm.
that the system in your state, in Pennsylvania, that they're that the laws are unforgiving, or that there's, like, millions of loopholes, or is it kind of an uphill battle when you're facing, like, when you're representing a client?
I think it's pretty uphill. I think they say it's, like, a defense-oriented system. I disagree with that. I think that the prosecution has far more ammunition because they've got police, obviously, on their side, and they kind of there's, I don't want to say tricks, but there's a lot of things that they can do to kind of tilt things in their favor, let's just say, especially with conspiracy when you have multiple co-defendants, you know, getting them to kind of you know, kind of cooperate, we'll say.
Wow.
You know, can kind of drag other people into situations that maybe otherwise they wouldn't be in.
Does that
it bothers me sometimes.
Does that get past the judge? Like, I would think that there's some sort of mediation there, no? Or
You would think so, but not necessarily. The problem is that when it comes to when you try to suppress evidence and that kind of stuff, it's usually the police officer's word against, you know, a criminal defendant if they are even willing to testify, and usually, you know, that usually turns out to be the judge believes whatever the cop says.
Hmm.
I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Kind of. It just sounds like so depressing. That sounds like very daunting. Do you think that applies like everywhere, basically, or is that unique to Pennsylvania or what?
No, I think it applies across the board, probably.
You got some crazies out there right now, you know, currently about to go to trial. Like, that guy, Sven Dushtay.
Well, no, I'm not even talking about his situation. I'll tell you a funny story. I'll tell you a story if you want to. Can we have a story time with me right now?
Yeah, okay, fine. It's all yours. Yeah.
If you want one.
Esquire Liz, go ahead.
Okay, one of the last cases my father had was a drug case where this woman was, where they had surveillance on this guy that was clearly making hand-to-hand sales with confidential informants, and I think a couple even undercover cops. He was doing it out of his house. Well, the house he was living in was a friend of his, and this woman, who was my dad's client, was going to work every day, coming home. She was involved in none of these deals. She was never even seen when any of this was going on. Well, eventually they get the search warrant, because this guy was living there, and raid the house, and, you know, they arrested both of them because of the whole conspiracy thing, and, you know, the fact is it was her house.
Married?
No, they weren't married or anything. They were friends. I don't even think they had any kind of relationship outside of friendship. I don't think there was anything romantic going on. I think it was just like this was somebody she knew from high school or something like that, and was doing a solid for and like renting a room to.
Don't they normally have like, I forget what it's called, but, like, some sort of privilege there? Like, if they had been actually a couple, that she wouldn't have to...
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the marital doctrine. Yeah, like, they wouldn't be allowed to testify against each other, yeah. But that's not what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, no, it was just her place, right?
It was her place. He was the drug dealer, though. And to make a long story short, they both posted bail. He went on the lam. He went on the run. He was their target. He was the guy they wanted. So she wound up going down for it. When they had none of her under surveillance, they had nothing, none of the confidential informants who were buying the drugs had any interaction with her at all. But because it was basically her house under her roof, she wound up doing 3.5 years. So.
Yeah. I don't think Theodore liked that story very much. He's
no, and neither did I, and that was like a very upsetting, you know. And I was very shocked that she was convicted. I was surprised the jury would, even with constructive possession, would buy that. that she had anything to do with it, because there was really no evidence other than the fact that it was her house. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's just how it goes in the system, though.
Huh.
So you got to watch and hang out with.
What about some good outcomes then, like that maybe that you've represented somebody successfully? Like, I guess not specifics, but like, I don't know. Any good stories? Like, you're scaring me. Like,
part of one of the things is the lesson learned. I tell people this, like, if you're in a room full of people, like, you know, I don't know what people's attitude is about, and I'm just talking about narcotics now, like, from a criminal defense standpoint, like, you know, the police, if you're under the same roof as it, or if it's in the same room as you, you can get arrested and get in a lot of trouble for it, even though you got nothing
or
to do with it.
Or cars, right? Any
right.
Property.
Oh, cars, forget about it,
yeah.
Uh-huh. I've had guys where the roach was up in the ashtray in the front seat, and the passenger is in the back, my client, and they still arrest him for it. Don't test him. Don't do anything to see if he's even smoking it. We're talking about a roach. And they try and get him on conspiracy for that. I mean, come on.
What about weapons and stuff, too? It's so funny. I remember seeing something, like some news brief, where some guy, they, like, arrested him, and they found, like, a gun up his butthole.
Wait, what?
Never mind. Okay, like, some guy was arrested for something else, like, or something. And when he was arrested and they do the whole, you know, body scan and stuff, they discovered, like, a gun or a weapon, like, internally in his extremities.
Wait, we had, like, a gun up his rear end or something?
Yes.
Why?
You tell me. You're the lawyer. Hello.
I've never had a case like that. That's pretty
that's
damn
like,
clever,
that's
though.
Like, that's like enema domain.
Well, I had a guy when the police came and raided him, he had a tape to his, you know, his sack.
He had a what?
He had a pack of cocaine tape to his.
That sounds like kindergarten compared to sticking who knows how many inches in your rectum and then just chill. You get all, like, you had to be sit down. Like, that's weird.
Or what if the thing went off?
Exactly.
Is it loaded?
You know, that's a very good question. No. Ew.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay, I don't even remember if that was a question I had or if I just brought that up randomly. Yeah. Well, anyways, it made Fedor quiet, so I guess.
Yeah, I heard him growling.
Yeah, he's happy now and he's back asleep, which is the end result. So the end justifies the means, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, yeah, I'm going to play a song, so please, if you can, stay awake and stay on the line, and I'm going to continue speaking with you and asking you some more questions, but in the meanwhile, I'm going to play something. Let me pick out a song. I will play, darn it.
Video Kill the Radio Star?
No, not today. Okay, I'm going to play Break You by X Factor. So
okay.
Please stay tuned. And listeners out there, you're listening to Playtime with Sandra. And we'll be right back with the rest of my interview with Anthony F. List Jr. of PALicensedLawyer.com. Here you go.
Can't stop these thoughts and margin. Can't stop. Break. No!
by X Factor. You can listen to more of their sounds on NakedGirlsRadio.com anytime you'd like. And this broadcast will end at 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. After that, feel free to jump on NakedGirlsRadio.com and listen to even more Playtime with Sandra on Naked Girls Radio. I'm your host, Sandra London, and you're listening to Playtime with Sandra. Woo! So, Anthony List Jr.,
yes.
Are you still there?
I am.
Woo! All right. So, now, where were we?
We were all over the place there.
Yeah, okay, guns, narcotics.
Yeah.
Family law.
Family law, yeah.
Ooh, okay. Now, let's switch it. Let's see. How about golf? Why don't you talk about golf? Cause that's
you want me to talk about it? I'm not like a pro or anything, but I like to play golf. What would you like to know about golf? I know a lot about golf.
Like,
By the way, it's Masters Week this week.
So this
is going to be the biggest week in golf coming up, the Masters this week. Yes.
Well, I know Tiger Woods just won big recently, right? He just won something, but what was that?
He won Arnold Palmer's big tournament at Bay Hill in Orlando. That's, like, kind of a big deal. It's very prestigious.
Okay.
So he's, like, in prime position coming into this tournament. And Phil Mickelson's playing well, too, and he's, like, his big rival. So he almost won in Texas today.
But he didn't.
This is going to be a good one.
But he didn't win today. So who won instead of him?
I'm not sure. I'm wondering, who the hell was the guy? What's the guy's name again? Hunter Mahan. He's pretty good, too. But it's going to be a good one, I think, this week.
Nice. Cool. All right. So, like, when did you start playing golf and, like, why?
I don't know. I just, like, did it kind of... I played a little bit in high school, but always conflicted with baseball. And then since baseball ended, like, you know, I got really hooked on it again. It's a great social game. It's fun to go out and do with your friends. It's one of the few games you can go out and, like, kind of smoke cigars or do whatever, because it's not like it's really that athletically demanding, but it sort of is, like, hand-eye coordination-wise. But it's hard to describe unless you've played, because once you start playing and hitting balls, we're going to get you hitting some balls and see what I'm talking about. You'd probably be pretty good. But you get very hooked on it. Like, if you love baseball or basketball, it's like perfect go-to sport. That's why you see all the big, you know, athletes going and playing golf now.
Like Michael Jordan and all them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's
okay,
addicted.
I'll take your word for it that I would enjoy it. I've played, like, miniature golf, but not...
Well, it's not bad, but, yeah.
Not memorably.
It's a little different. Well, a big part of the game is putting, though. The biggest part is putting, what people don't realize. So if you're playing mini golf and you can putt well, that's a good start, but, you know, you got to eventually be able to hit it a good way, too. But the guys who win on the tour, the funny thing is, are the guys that putt real well. So they'd probably be pretty good mini golf players, too, if they were to go do that. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. And then tell me, like, I guess about your love of movies. Like, I know you were one of the people that was, like, completely horrified that I've never watched any of the Godfathers.
I haven't.
I still have not. I promise I will, but I still have not.
Yeah, I mean, The Godfather is one of the best crime drama movies ever, possibly. How could you have never watched that?
It just never crossed my mind.
you don't know what you're missing, then, is all I can say. It's probably one of the best movies ever. It is the best movie ever, in my opinion.
Well, I like cool movies. Like, well, okay, never mind. I should probably not say that. Well, okay, like... American Psycho. I like that movie.
So do I.
Dale was awesome in it.
I like twisted movies, too. Do you ever see Mulholland Drive?
No.
Okay, it's kind of twisted, like American Psycho is twisted. It's good.
Yeah.
David Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go
it's
on,
good.
Go on. What else? I got to write down these movies.
He also did David Lynch also did, what the hell was it? He did Mulholland Drive, then he did, he did Blue Velvet.
Ah.
With Isabella Rossellini.
I did see that, but I was probably way too young to even be watching the film when I saw it. So I only remember, like, certain parts about it.
Yeah. She gets buck naked in some scene there, I know. So.
I think, yeah. So anyways, tell me about your friendships with, like, other lawyers in your profession, because I know that's how I met you, by Michael Federosi. So, how often do you guys all hang out, and do you just, like, have some unwritten rule to, like, not talk about work and not talk about law, or do you guys just end up...
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm friends with guys I went to law school with, or guys that I went to college with that became lawyers. I don't really hang out with much with the people that I practice in the county with. Like, I don't hang out with a lot of the DAs or other defense attorneys.
You probably should, mister.
Yeah, you know, there's maybe, I don't know.
Just kidding.
I don't know. But I do hang out with, you know, lawyers that don't, some that do the same kind of law I do and some that don't. But, yeah, we all have the same, like, stories about, you know, I had this case or, you know, this client, or have you ever been out to this county, the DA's office, and trying to deal with these people or this judge or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. And, like, how often do you actually, are you actually in court? Is it pretty much every, like, 5 days a week and with multiple cases, or is it kind of like a rush?
Probably at least on average three, and it's usually in the beginning of the week. Like, I have to be in there tomorrow morning, I have to be in two different places. And when you're in, and I'll get into this, when you're in private practice, there's two kinds of, you know, well, not two kinds of lawyers, but some of the people I went to law school with, for instance, you know, went to work for, like, very big firms. And that's great in the sense that you get, you know, a steady paycheck, and it's like, you know, it's kind of a sure thing. But, you know, you're billing out. You're responsible for, like, a certain amount of billable hours, minimum of 40, usually somewhere around 50. So that's like you're practically locked up in a closet somewhere, like, just doing paperwork and occasionally getting into court eventually. And even then, it's just, that's kind of just, it's sort of a drag. Even when you're working for the big white shoes, you law firms that are billing you out at big, you know, at big numbers, and, you know, you're making a nice paycheck, but it's just, it's so dry and boring, and, you know, it's usually those big insurance defense firms that defend, you know, big companies for, you know, their slip and fall cases. Like, my one buddy's always defending Home Depot and stuff, but, you know, I don't want to say he's miserable, but he would much rather be in private practice like me. Now, I'm in private practice.
Did you start out in private practice, like, from
years ago, or did you
start out with companies?
Okay. I did, and I should have. The best way to go to private practice, in my opinion, is to cut your teeth. And what I should have done is maybe done a year or two in the DA's office, getting more trial experience before you just go right into private practice, which is what I did. But I was under the tutelage of my uncle and father, so it wasn't like I was totally, like, that green. You know, I kind of had them looking over my shoulder the whole time, which was a good thing.
Yeah. Well, did you, like, always have it in mind then to go into law no matter what then, since you were kind of raised around it? Or
I always knew it was in the back of my mind. And it was the back of my mind. But what I was going to say to you, you said, how many times am I in court? Like, I'm in court on average three times a week. And, for instance, tomorrow I have to be in two different courtrooms at the same time. But luckily there's multiple cases on the docket for each court, so I'll run to one in the morning, you know, try to work whatever I can out there or have my hearing, and then haul ass back to this other courthouse to, you know, handle this other client's case. But, you know, fortunately, in both courts, you know, there's multiple cases on the docket, and I've already let them know, hey, I gotta be two places at once. And what I'm saying is, for you to make a living in private practice, it's the only way you're going to do it. You know, you've got to, like, be able to just...
Double book.
Yeah, exactly. Double book. Be here and there at the same time. But then, you know, Thursday and Friday, I got nothing on. But it's usually front-loaded. At the beginning of the week is always when, especially with criminal cases, they always list everything for Mondays to see what can't be worked out as far as pleas and that kind of stuff and negotiations go. And if it can't be, then it gets put on, you know, later on the week for an actual trial. And that's how it usually goes.
I have a question about that, actually. Well, sort of. Like, okay, so for some of your clients, when things maybe don't work out in their favor, like, do you ever, is there any, ever, like, a particular time or times where you're just sort of like, wow, this person, like, you know, maybe I got them less time, but they're going to be doing quite a few years, and you just feel like something when you're like, oh, those buyers are going to be closing behind them real soon, darn, like, or you're just like, oh, I guess it is what it is, or what? Do you have to kind
of... A little bit of both.
That?
A little bit of both. Yeah, a little bit of both. Sometimes, you know, you feel a little bit bad for them because, I mean, jail sucks, but, you know, it is what it is. You give it your best shot. That's really all you can do because, you know, you get personally too wrapped up in it. That'll burn you out and also kind of, I think, interfere with your thinking. You can't get too emotional about it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But it's hard not to sometimes.
Right. Well, This is interesting because I've been looking forward to interviewing lawyers, and I'll probably be able to interview your friend, Michael Federosi, pretty soon. But, yeah, it's like, a pretty good reality check for me, I guess, as far as, you know, the ups and downs of working in the legal field, I guess. So since I'm not sure if people listening in, if they know or not, but, like, I've loved the study of law, like, forever, like, since high school. And if you guys have read some of my posts in the past, one of my favorite books of all time is Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky. And I don't know, it's sort of like getting that kind of glimpse into the mind of just like a human being, like when you're representing people and, you know, you're trying to do what's best for them, but also make sure that, you know, you're not perverting the course of justice and this whole kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know, that it just becomes all the more real when you're their representative, you're their guardian, you're, like, you're trying to preserve both, you know, justice and, I don't know what, everybody's fair turn, their fair shake in court, whatever. Their
right.
Day, this kind of thing. So I appreciate being able to talk to you about it, but... but yeah, I want you to tell me the cool fun stuff about law because I'm getting sad now.
No, I'm sorry. What would be the cool fun stuff? I guess. What's that?
I say you tell me. What are the cool parts about being a lawyer? Because
Well, I mean, when you get somebody a good result or when you get them kind of like something worked out and they were in trouble and, you know, they're very gracious about it. I mean, you have days where, you know, it feels very rewarding. And, you know, especially with somebody who's had like a substance problem or something like that and you get them like drug court or something that's sort of where, you know, you really see them actually turn their lives around and they come back to you, you know, years later and you see that they're really straight, you know. And doing very well, and you feel like you've kind of not only represented them well, defended them well, but you've also been instrumental in seeing that, not instrumental, but you've also been sort of a part of watching their life, you know, turn for the better.
And you have been able to see that happen, like, in your 11, 12, 13 years of practice? You've had people come back to you later and, like, thank
absolutely.
You and stuff, and cool.
Yeah, we had a guy come in the office the other day. I mean, he was in big-time trouble, and I got on this, like a boot camp. Like, when I first came out, I was very green, and, I wish they would offer that more to, like, you know, drug offenders, but it was almost like an army kind of situation. And, you know, he went away and did, like, this army program for 6 months, and they just really, like, mentally and physically, I think it really was, like, the best thing that ever happened to him. And he came back, and he's got his own, like, landscaping business or something like that, and he looked great, and there's never been in trouble since, and that was, like, you know, 12 years ago.
Nice.
Because, you know, most of the problem with the whole the system, particularly the criminal system, is people go, you know, they go do their time, they come out, and they just reoffend. Because there's no real rehabilitation in there. That's my biggest problem with the system right now. It's all punishment. And they wind up just coming out, if not worse off than when they went in.
Well, are you, like, a part of different, like, legal associations that try to do that kind of thing or implement reforms to the system?
Yeah, but the problem is, especially in Pennsylvania and across the board, the problem is if you really don't have a whole lot to bargain with. Like, if somebody's really, like, in big-time trouble and the case against them factually is pretty strong, although all my clients are generally innocent, you know, the problem is the mandatory minimum laws are very strict. Like, if everything's a school zone, and if you have the smallest amount of, you know, anything on you, and
wait,
it's, you know,
what?
Packaged...
If everything's a school zone, then that doesn't bode well for Sandusky.
No, well, that's a different, that's about drugs. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, everything's a school zone to him, right? No, I shouldn't have said that. God.
Yeah,
did you see my name on
okay.
this program? This
no,
is not...
No,
you did already, didn't you?
No. So stricken from the record. This is for entertainment purposes only. I'm actually talking to a brick wall right now. Or, you know what? I'm like Phil Hendry, and I have like 5 million different voices. So I'm
okay.
having an interview with myself, audience.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, but what I was going to say is,
anyway.
particularly as it comes to drug cases, the penalties in Pennsylvania, and particularly across the board, I think, are so high. There's mandatory minimums they can say where it's like, oh, if you don't like this deal, then guess what? There's a 3-year mandatory minimum here. Or even if it's like some tiny-ass amount, they say, oh, well, that was a school zone because as a crow flies, if it's within, I think it's 2,000 feet, it's a school zone. That's 2-year mando right there. You see what I'm saying? So, like, the person has to go do, like, a year and a half. Let's eat great. Because that's better than doing three. But where are these programs, as I was saying earlier, like my other client who came back to me that would actually rehabilitate somebody, I don't really see too many of them existing.
Right.
So.
Huh. Well,
Sandusky.
And, yeah, who are some other interesting people that are from Pennsylvania? Isn't Santorum from there?
Yeah.
Mr. Lovely Invisible Sweater Boy.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you love him? Isn't he awesome? I'm just kidding.
God.
What?
Oh, man.
Do you not agree that he's, like, absolutely priceless?
Oh, he's priceless, all right.
He's priceless. He's got a billionaire sugar daddy and everything. I'm going to say it.
He has a billionaire sugar daddy?
Totally. Oh, my God.
Who's
it's
his
like,
billionaire sugar daddy?
I don't know. Okay, I'm going to say the name wrong, but it sounds like Foster Freeze, kind of. But that's not the actual name, but that's what it sounds like. It's like a weird name. Anyway, oh, bless him, bless his heart.
Some guy who's contributing to his campaign?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, you're not up on this, Mr.
Nah, so you're very political.
You only
you're
do
very
law,
much
not politics. Yeah, only law, no politics for you, right?
Pretty much. I'm just, you know, I'm just... I didn't get into the political end of it, although, you know...
Darn it.
You're the one with CNN all the time, right?
Yes, always. Well, are you considering
still everything for Ron Paul, by the way?
Ever? Yes, I'm still madly in love with Ron Paul. That's someone I actually am not facetious about, where I actually truly do adore him. And even my dog right now is getting goosebumps or dreaming or something because he's, like, breathing really
about
hard
Ron Paul.
On my lap right now and moving his little feet around. Yes, I think he approves.
Okay. Well, sorry, it's a little dog thing, but you, I don't get that. But that's okay.
What? You don't like freedom? I'm just kidding. Anyway,
all right.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna ask you about your political beliefs. whatever. Okay, so how about, let's see. Wow, I can't ask a lawyer about politics. Okay, let's see. Are there any, like, interesting laws that are, like, unique to Pennsylvania, whether you practice that field of law or not, that you're just like, oh, this is interesting, because, like, I didn't have time to find out beforehand, sorry. But if you know of any offhand, if you don't, sorry to put you on the spotlight like that. But, like,
no,
like, are there any
interesting laws in PA that
unique that you're like, huh?
They're unique to this state only, that as far as I know, are only unique to Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Like, you know, like, yeah. Or maybe not completely unique, but just interesting, like, what am I hinting at? I guess, like, okay, like, for example, I guess when you're talking about weapons and things like that and whatever, like, when I'm thinking of Florida, Trayvon Martin, and the whole, like, stand your ground type thing, are there any interesting, like, for criminal law, like, defending someone, like, who used self-defense or some sort of something that's applicable to them being able to supposedly or realistically defend themselves? Like, what are those laws?
You know,
like,
what the irony about that is, you know, like, it's not so much Pennsylvania, but I think in this country it's like it's the right to bear arms thing and everybody's allowed to have a gun. It seems like that's perfectly okay until they actually use it. And then it's because you rarely hear much self-defense out there. You know, so as soon as somebody, you know, I had a client where someone was literally like breaking in his house, not breaking in his house, like he was a tenant of his apartment, and there were guys that I guess his landlord had sent in to fix the whatever, and the guys were clearly loaded, they were drinking. And he didn't want him coming into his place, and he had his wife in there, and he was like, look, get lost. And, you know, I'm not saying it was worthy of pulling a gun, but he pulled it, and somebody got shot, and, you know, there was no self. They weren't going to about to entertain a self-defense thing. So my point is, even though these guys were in his abode, coming in, like, without his permission, and he takes out his gun and uses it, he's the one that wound up getting in trouble.
Right.
So...
Did they have weapons on them? Were they?
No, they didn't. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it was his house, and they were literally kicking the door in.
Huh. Gee.
It was his house, but it wasn't his house. So it's because his landlord owned it. Maybe, you know.
So the landlord could have done it if he was.
Well, the landlord had given these guys to go ahead to go in there and fix the house.
Remove them from my abode.
Yeah, but it's still like. If someone were to kick in your door right now and say, oh, we don't care what you think, we're coming here to fix this, wouldn't you want to, like, you know, be able to do something about it?
I'm a chick. Of course I can do something about it.
Well,
right?
Pull a gun and you'll see.
I don't trust myself as a gun. That's not going to be me.
Well,
yeah.
My point is that as soon as somebody actually uses it and starts shooting at somebody, no matter how grave the circumstances are, it seems like now it's a problem. Like, your right to bear arms thing just went out the window, and now you're a criminal defendant. I'll put it to you that way. That's been my experience with that.
Right. But you don't
At least
live
in PA,
south.
It seems like they don't.
You don't live in the South.
No.
Yay. These are such uplifting and wonderful topics, huh? This is awesome. Yay. Okay. Okay, so tell me, tell me about, like, I don't know, your favorite music, genre-wise, the favorite type of music you like, as well as favorite artists or things like that.
I like all music. The only kind of music I can't seem to quite get a grasp on is the country stuff that seems to be very popular.
There's good country music out there.
Well, see, you know, you get it.
Names,
I just don't. I don't know. A lot of people are into it. You know, I like everything classic rock and roll, Led Zeppelin stuff, to like the new stuff you hear. I mean, you know, 80s, whatever, Prince, 70s music I like. Bee Gees is cool. Stuff the old school, like, that you can dance to is cool. Yeah, like, you know. I haven't been to a concert in a while, though. You got me thinking here.
Yeah.
Hmm. Saw Lenny Kravitz in L.A. out there one time. That was right after I took the bar exam, actually. That was pretty cool. He was good.
Tell me about... You know what? I can't think of my question anymore. Tell me about... This sucks, man. My brain is like, okay, let me do a brief disclaimer to everyone tuning in right now. Like, because of this dog, I've severely limited my smoking, like, cigarettes, and he also has kept me awake at different crazy hours, so I'm going to just let you guys know that.
Yeah, can I do a disclaimer too? Then that it's past midnight here, and this is way past my bedtime, and that's why I'm a little bit off tonight too.
No. You're doing perfectly fine. It's me right now. I'm just like out of it. But tell me about animals.
Are you gonna give me this? You're gonna give me the "it's not you, it's me" thing, huh?
Yes, I am. Tell me about animals. Like, growing up, any animals you had, and I know you have a cat now. And I know his nickname is That Bastard.
Yes. And the remorseful thing you've seen.
Yeah. Like, tell me about... You had other animals growing up?
Yeah, I grew up with dogs.
What kind of dogs?
I had a Yorkshire, like, an Irish Setter when I was really little. Then a Yorkie that lived for a long time, like, until I was in college, from the time I was in grade school.
What made you a cat person?
Well, the irony of that is I never really was one. My ex's cat had died, and I got this kitten. I adopted him. And when we split, you know, like, quite a few years ago, it was pretty obvious that he was attached to me. So he stayed with me.
Aww. That's so cute.
Yeah, you'd have never thunk it. But he acts like a dog.
He acts like a dog.
Yeah, he'll play fetch and stuff. It's weird.
You know, the cats, I think, are really cool, but I don't know if Theodore would like them or if ever, but like Savannahs and Bengals, because they are like dogs in a sense. Like, they like to fetch, they like to swim, like, I don't know. And you can actually walk them humanely with a leash, which is pretty badass to me. I like that because, yeah, cats have a mind of their own, as we all know.
They're very independent, yeah.
But cats that are willing to be leashed, that's, like, very interesting to me. And
I've never tried that.
They look like crazy, like, sleek tiger people. They're awesome. They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. And if Theo would not approve, then it just can't happen. I can only watch little videos of them on YouTube. But yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to put on, I'm going to put on one more song here real quick, and I might be able to do a live reading of an excerpted short erotic story that was submitted by Sea Lover. The Other Side of the Caveman. I'm going to try to do a live reading of that if I have enough time, but I need to pick, like, a song or something in the meanwhile. Thank you so much, Anthony F. List Jr. Of PALicenselawyer.com. Thank you so much for allowing me to interview you and wake you up in the middle of the night when you have, like, a lot of work to do tomorrow.
No problem.
And in your office and all that. And I guess say hello to Fat Bastard.
I will.
Tell him I said hey. And,
I will. You already bit me earlier, but yeah.
Yeah. And Thanks so much. And yeah, you should consider running for office one day, like in Pennsylvania, if only to keep out invisible sweaters.
Okay.
And I will end
keep that in the back of my mind. Although if I do, this interview may come back to haunt me.
Uh-oh. Well, it never happened, dude. I'm totally a ventriloquist doll. I'm like multi-vocal talented, and it's only me here. Me and my brick wall and Theo. Theo's talking. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I swear.
Alright.
Good night.
Good night.
Good dreams, and thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye. Okay, so that was the end of the interview with the Legal Eagle, Anthony F. List Jr. If you're in Pennsylvania and you'd like representation, check out his website, PALicenseLawyer.com. And, let's see, I will play, darn it, I still can't figure out what I want to play, because, okay, I'm going to do Blood by Assimilation, and if I have enough time, you know what, I'm not going to have enough time. So after this song, please feel free to check out the rest of Playtime with Sandra over on NakedGirlsRadio.com. You'll hear a lot more music and a lot more erotica, some of my audio erotica. And next weekend, I promise you, I will give you a live reading of that story, the gentler side of the caveman, by Sea Lover. But taking you out for tonight is Blood by Assimilation. You've been listening to Playtime with Sandra on Playtime with Sandra Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Good night.
Deep inside you, in your mind.
Check me out next weekend, Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio. You can reach this broadcast by going to playtimewithsandra.com or on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/playtimewithsandra or nakedgirlsradio.com. So yeah, all these options. You can also feel free to listen to any archives on those same sites, and I will see you soon. Feel free to learn more about me on thelivinggrindinla.com and to see me live and in action, or pre-recorded live anyways, on SandraLondonTV.com. Brought to you by YouTube. Have very sweet dreams. Sleep well. hasta la semana próxima. I probably got that wrong. But anyways, good night.